Some kill, they're leaving it very open. Windbar, well, what a kick! It's a goal!
Look at him go, Mr. Magic has kicked the most unbelievable goal you have ever seen in a month of Sundays.
Hello, 90s footy fans. Welcome to another episode of the 90s Club Footy Podcast. This week, our guest is former Brisbane Bear and Lion defender, Matthew Kennedy. Matthew, a Queensland native, made his debut with the Brisbane Bears during the 1990 season. The key defender spent all of his career in the Sunshine State, playing 188 games over his 12-year career. In this episode, Matthew talks about the early years at the Brisbane Bears, what motivated him during the losses, Lee Matthews, Brisbane's first finals campaigns, the merger with Fitzroy, and working in the AFL environment in an off-field role. I hope you enjoy the 87th member of the 90s Club Footy Podcast, Matthew Kennedy. Matthew Kennedy, thank you for joining me on the 90s Club Footy Podcast. Terrific to have you on, mate, and looking forward to reflecting with you about the Brisbane Bears and the Brisbane Lions.
Thank you, Trent. It's good to be with you.
Mate, I'm always interested with all the old 90s footballers. I know that we can talk all things footy, but I'd love to know what you're currently doing with yourself from an employment point of view. And do you still have any involvement with footy?
I do, mate. Yes, I'm currently, I've jumped out of the AFL system after a long period involved. COVID probably pushed a few of us out. So myself, Sean Harden, ex-Lions champ and one of the greatest blokes on the planet, and I work together with Andy Lovell at Bond University. So I'll look after all the fitness conditioning there with the boys, and that's the male and female programs, which are really big over there at Bond. So that's really enjoyable. Not nowhere near the pressure or the intensity of AFL, mate, so it's really enjoyable, just that grassroots sort of footy, so I'm loving that. I've got a couple of gyms with Dean Solomon, a bloke who used to lock horns with at Essendon, premiership player in 2000. So he and I have got a little gym down there at Kingscliff and one at the Pullman on the Park in East Melbourne. So keeping busy, mate. But, yeah, enjoying being out of the AFL system and really getting back and helping some young male and female footy players up here on the coast.
Now, you were born in Melbourne, but you moved to Queensland at a young age. I'm really interested, how did you make your way onto the Brisbane Bears list in that early 90s?
Oh, mate, I moved up here. I had terrible asthma in Melbourne, so I was born in Sandy. My father worked at Ansett back in the day, so I was in and out of hospital for most of my younger days down there. So we moved up to the coast when I was 10. Started the footy journey at Surfers Paradise Footy Club, mate, with Marcus Ashcroft. We actually started together in the under-10s and then worked our way to Southport. And then we got, I don't know what you would have called it back then, mate. I'm not sure whether we were drafted or it was local product draft or whatever it was. It was pretty much the dark ages back then. But he and I got drafted to the Bears, as they were known then, under the tutelage of Peter Knights. I'm sure we'll talk about it. I mean, it's very interesting times, mate, for a young player to come into a system where there were just so many different players from different parts of the country all come together and meshed together and formed the mighty Bears as they were known then. So incredibly interesting times for a young player and a young person to come into the AFL system.
I was just going to ask, like, the Brisbane Bears were still relatively new to the competition, you know, 3 or 4 years old when you joined them. What can you remember of the early days of, you rocking up to training pre-season, I guess, and just the professionalism of the club and facilities and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, there's much spoken about the facilities and the professionalism and all those sorts of things, but for a naive guy from the coast who just wanted to play AFL footy, I was just in heaven, to be honest. You know, Jeff Raines, Warwick Kappa, Brad Hardy, Marty Leslie, Mark Megan. There was just so many players that I really idolised that I'd watched in the AFL system. To be training with them as an 18-year-old was really special. So, mate, I didn't know any different. I was just happy to be on an AFL list and getting an opportunity. But they were really interesting times, particularly when you think about what it did become. You know, 10 to 15 years later, it was quite phenomenal. But as I said, Knightsy was, well, I saw him as a pretty frustrated coach back then because he's such a competitor, really successful coach, had a group of players with just an awkward mix, mate, to be honest. Outstanding characters, but just really challenging times as far as how do you mesh a group together in a year or two, particularly when you've got some really older, more established players with rusted on habits and characters and all sorts. It was bag of mixed lolly stuff, but incredibly interesting times. But as I said, Chop, Marcus and I and a few others didn't know any different. Sean Hart, we all came through together, but we just loved our time, mate. There's a million different stories about the Bears and particularly that, you know, they started off okay. We got smacked a fair bit, but there was a core group of players, particularly young players there, that sort of forged a bit of a path and set the next little period up.
Do you remember much about your debut in 1990? And I know it's a few years ago, but do you sort of recall you were told? Did you feel that you were ready to play at that AFL level? Because as you said before, like, it was a real mixed demographic with that lineup. You had a lot of older ones, you had a lot of younger ones. Did you feel like you were ready to be thrown into the gauntlet and play that high-level footy?
Yeah, but, mate, being coaching and all that sort of stuff, I was nowhere near ready. I was too immature physically. I got a chance under, I think Dare was coaching at the time. Well, Knights, he got the flick. So I remember my first game played on Darren Bennett. Remember Darren Bennett?
Yeah, the NFL Melbourne punter. Yep.
Just had a massive boot on him. And I was just overawed, mate. You know, I was just a young kid from the Gold Coast. I don't know if I even touched the ball. But to be honest, I don't think I was ready. But it was a great insight and understanding of what it took to be an AFL player. I was a very athletic player as a young bloke. I just had to, and I'll talk about Wolsey in a minute, but I had to put a heap of weight on, get a heap more aggressive, particularly to play key position. I couldn't just be an outside wingman or anything like that. I was the size that I needed to play key position. But I do remember the first game. It was a fantastic opportunity, but I was nowhere near ready, mate, I don't reckon, physically and from a sort of a maturity point of view.
Taken by Mark Bayes, a free kick. But a terribly directed kick again, only as far as Kennedy, a long running shot. I think he's kicked it. Great goal.
During the 90s, what was the feel like in Queensland with the Brisbane Bears? You know, was there a buy-in from the community or did it take that time to build? And I guess you look at the current day Brisbane Bears and the sellout crowds and even during the glory days of 01, 2 and 3, everyone was up and about. But was it like that in the 90s or did it take a little bit to really get that buy-in from the community? Because I guess really it's heartland of rugby league, isn't it?
Absolutely. I probably only felt it, mate, when we went to Brisbane in 93, went to the Gabba, moved from Carrara to Brisbane. I just felt a real shift in that. The Gold Coast, well, the public certainly embraced it, but we were getting pumped most weeks. So it's really hard. We were a hard team to follow. There's no doubt about that because we were a startup club, a club that was battling on the field, playing out of Carrara. There was a few challenges in and around that. But they're all ex-Victorians, mate. So they all had we were their second team. But really, when we hit Brisbane in 93, I had a pretty good year in 93. And from that point on, I reckon it really started, the momentum started to shift for more of a rusted on Brisbane footy club. It just ironic, my young bloke, Joey, he's nearly 17. He's up training with the Lions just to get a bit of a taste at the moment under a father-son sort of deal with young Levi Ashcroft. You walk into that club now, mate. It's unbelievable, the facilities and just the transformation in the whole landscape of AFL across the board. It's phenomenal, their facilities up there now.
You speak about, I guess, those heavy losses during the early years and then, you know, sort of those mid-90s, things started to change. But what kept you motivated and the team motivated, mate?
Oh, I think it's a couple of things, mate. I think you just continue to fight. If you see some players that have got a real hunger and desire to get better. I was a really competitive person, wanted to get better. I knew I had some deficiencies. But we had, as I said, that core group of blokes, the Sean Harts and the Marcus Ashcrofts and those types of players. We thought we were going to be okay eventually. I distinctly remember that game against Geelong. I know Champs and I sort of went back and forward on Ablett and Brownless. I think he kicked about 8 on Champs, 6 on me. It was one of those nights where everything went wrong. I think Roger got injured in the first 10 seconds of the game, and we just got absolutely smoked. It was one of those games, and I think that you never sort of forget. But it was almost like a line in the sand game to think we can't be in this position again. We did suffer some significant losses post that, but that was one of those nights was just horrific. It was just one of those horrible games where you think we just can't control what's going on here, and the floodgates opened.
I reckon one of the only highlights would have been Johnny Hutton kicking 8 up the other end. That was a pretty good effort considering, that Geelong just dominated the scoreboard and general play, but Johnny Hutton to kick 8 was a pretty good effort, I reckon.
a lot of people forget that he was a really good player, Hutton from WA. But to kick eight in a losing game like that was an outstanding effort. Yeah, but a lot of people, that sort of gets washed over, doesn't it, after people look at the scoreline.
1991, you featured in the Brisbane Bears Reserves Grand Final win over Melbourne at Waverley Park, the only grand final at Waverley. What do you remember of that day? And I guess being a reserves premiership and probably having a little bit more more shine to what a reserves flag has in this current format because it was the AFL reserves, how much was that celebrated by the club? Because I was looking back at the team list, and obviously there's some locals down from my way in the Western District, Bernie Harris and Ben Thomas that played in that game. But how much did you enjoy the moment, you guys?
I was terrific. Well, Rocket was coaching us, Rocket E. So he was always upbeat about most things, Rocket. He was fantastic. But yeah, game, I don't know if I was about 20, and we had quite a few of, you know, really core group of mates that we played with. But we played with the likes of Peter Curran, Rod Lester-Smith, those types of players who had enormous experience. So it was a really good day, mate. It was a very different day playing at Waverley. It was really an anomaly, wasn't it? I think it's the only time ever that the grand final has been played there. But grand final's a grand final, mate. So we certainly celebrated nice and hard. But it was a really enjoyable time. And they were fantastic guys, mate, that we played with in that team. As you said, if you look through that team list, really, really high-end talent there from younger players and also some older established guys that played.
I reckon big Alex Oshenko might have featured in that.
The big Russian player. I was just going to say Russian played. Andrew Taylor. It was a really high level team. And Chopper Lovell, the bloke I'm working with now, we played against him. He was playing for Melbourne.
Do you give him a little reminder, mate, that you got that one on him? Or
Absolutely.
Hey, the 90s was littered with absolute star forwards. And you were obviously playing, centre-half back or one of those key position roles in the back line. Who'd you have some great battles with? And who were the ones that sort of you felt like just you could never get because they were just too hard to play against? Because it was an absolute stars. I think of Kernahan, Carey, Ablett, Lockett, Dunstall, these sort of names, Richardson.
Yeah, well, mate, there was a terrific era, wasn't it? The big power forwards. I think as a younger player, I playing on the Locketts and these blokes, I just physically couldn't go with them. So I battled with them. As I got older, I sort of really loved the opportunity to play. I love playing on Richo because he's a bit of an athlete like me. I love playing on Carey, obviously, just for the challenge of getting hold of him. But yeah, mate, you're dead right. Barry Stoneham was always a real hard player to play on. He sort of finished as I was starting to become a little bit more established, but he was an outstanding player. But every week, mate, you get someone, Pavlich, Treadray, as I said, Richo, all those blokes, Carl Langdon from the West Coast Eagles. No matter who you're playing, you'd get someone who was pretty handy. So Champs and I, well, he was the key back, like the deep back, and I was up the ground a bit. So we, every week, poor old Champo would have someone and I'd have someone. So we used to cancel each other quite a lot. But yeah, mate, we loved our time there. But geez, it was good fun playing on those guys.
Because you look at a lot of the top sides, they always had that Batman and Robin, like Carey, Longmire, Ablett, Brownless, Benny Gale, Richardson, Lloyd and Lucas, these sort of players, like all those good clubs. Successful clubs, you know, West Coast had Sumich and Langdon. They had those Batman and Robin. So yeah, no doubt every week that you guys lined up, you and Champs, you'd be thinking, shit, just another hard task to try and stop.
100%. That's probably why we're in cancelling now. But even us later, mate, like the Lynch and Brown combo was as good as it gets. But all those names you just reeled off then, mate, they were just they're almost legends of the game, aren't they? But it was good footy, mate, in the 90s, wasn't it? I know that this podcast is all about that, but it was just a really exciting brand of footy, one-on-one matchups, just stars everywhere. It was a really good time to be playing footy.
That's good football. Chisholm down towards half-court. Burton at the back. Oh, good play by the big black. He couldn't pick it up. Here's Kennedy, caught high. And definitely too high. Free kick to Matt Kennedy. Kennedy, a long kick, as was his dad, Des Kennedy, many, many years ago at St Kilda.
The Bears played some finals in 95 and 96. How did you enjoy those moments, Matt? Because I guess, you suffered some really heavy losses in previous years and a tough, I guess, initiation to AFL footy. How did you enjoy those moments? And what sort of helped the Bears rise the ladder, in those couple of seasons? Because that was sort of the starting point for where the success come, 6 or 7 years later down the track.
Absolutely. Well, as I said, Wolsey was a huge part of that, Robert Walls. made the finals in 95, got tipped out by Carlton. But as I said, a lot of what he did forged us in fire, you know, like, and you talk about some of the guys he coached, the Scott brothers and Leper, Akamatis, Voss, Ashcroft, Hart, these types of blokes. He was incredibly hard on us. And was a frustrated coach at times, because I reckon he was a little impatient at times, which a coach can be. But he no doubt springboarded us into some really good footy, and I reckon, as I said, forged a lot of those players in fire to become legends of the game. And those blokes I just sort of reeled off then Lynch, Lapp, and all those sort of blokes. So 95, 96, we made the prelim. Got tipped out by North Melbourne. I remember playing on Carey that day. We went okay that day. And then obviously in 99 we made the prelim again, and then the rest sort of we can talk about a bit later in Lee's sort of era. But I reckon Wolsey, although he was hard on us, we frustrated. I know I frustrated him at times, but we all did. But he set us up as a hard-edged footy team, and he needs to take an enormous amount of credit for that.
The end of 1996 was an interesting time in the AFL, because there was the merger talks, and it looked likely that Fitzroy and North Melbourne were going to be the ones that amalgamated. But then the AFL had different ideas from, you know, the people that I've spoken to on the podcast, and obviously Brisbane come into those discussions, and obviously those two clubs formed the Brisbane Lions. What were the thoughts and the feelings of the playing group on that decision? And I guess that would have caused a little bit of angst too, because you've got, you know, 8 or 10 players come in from the Lions that could potentially take spots of blokes that have played in, you know, finals teams in 1996. So what was the thoughts and feelings from the playing group?
No, it was a really awkward time, mate, because you're very tribal. You fall in love with your own side. And then to have another team, particularly an established team like Fitzroy with the history that that club had, it's incredibly awkward. We felt for them, because they didn't want to come. There's no way they wanted to come. They're a really proud club. But we played them a couple of times down there, and it was quite really challenging, because their fans were filthy, you know, and rightly so. But I just remember how difficult it was for both parties. You know, it's like an arranged marriage, it really is. But, you know, Boydie and Malloy and, you know, all the lads that came up, we love them. They were outstanding. But it was awkward, mate. I don't know any other word to describe it. It was an awkward little period. And you know, in the end, it's proved to be really successful, but there's nothing easy about that, nothing easy at all.
You spoke about Robbie Walls, you know, being a tough coach, but being a real catalyst of where you guys sort of went to over the next coming years. Lethal come in, you know, towards that latter part of the 90s. And, you know, what was he like to play under? And obviously, you know, he's probably continued on the really good work that Walls, he started, and we saw, you know, a triple premiership come up in the coming years.
Excuse me. Yeah, but Wolsey sort of ended. Then Swooper Northey came in. I think he's down from your way. Swooper, he was a really good coach in his first year. That sort of ended. Then the big skip, Big Roger, came in for a short period. And then we got wind that Lethal was coming. Lee Matthew was going to come in 99. And, it puts a spring in your step. For a lot of different reasons. I just remember the first meeting we had with him, and the first meeting I had with him. There was, you know, you're obviously a little bit toey, because he's got such an aura and a presence and such gravitas in the game. You think, what's he going to be like? But he's just such a good bloke. He just makes sense. Even his first meeting, I just looked at him and thought, everything he's saying, I understand. Just really pragmatic and sensible, and one of those sort of coaches and individuals that you just think, well, we're going to be okay, you know, because it's black and white. I understand exactly what he wants from me, and if I don't give it to him, I won't be playing, and if I am, I will be. And yeah, I could talk for hours about Lee and the impact he's had on me as a man, and also the impact he's had on Queensland footy. It's immense, mate. It's immense.
So 2001, 2002, 2003, the Lions win the premiership. Did the club and yourself have that feeling, geez, we've got a premiership list here? Like, you know, I reckon we could win one here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I always thought we had some incredible talent in that group. 2000 was a year that we sort of underperformed a little bit. And it's been spoken, it's a bit of folklore, mate, that Carlton game in 01 where we got smacked and then came out and won every game. The rest of the, I don't know what it was, 11 straight or whatever it was, and went on to win the premiership. Look, I think then the belief came, and wow, that team. You know, if it's not one of the best of all time, it's very, very close. When you just go through man, you know, when you go man by man, line by line, it's incredibly talented. And they just had such belief, and they've just become a hard edged, just a fierce team that just felt as if they couldn't be beaten. And that's pretty, pretty powerful when you're feeling that. And you've got Lethal at the head of the ship running the show. That's pretty formidable, and that's how it's sort of played out.
Down towards the pocket, too long for Kennedy, but he keeps it going the Bears' way. Kennedy! Oh! Oh, was it smothered?
It was a free kick.
It's a poster.
2001 was your last season, and your final game was in the prelim final. Gee, grand final week must have been a real roller coaster for you on many levels, Matt.
It was a funny old year, 2001. See, I used to train like a maniac, and not that I didn't trust the physios, I should have listened to them more. It's always easy in hindsight. I just trained, overtrained, and Lee loved me, and then sort of fell out of love with me in a sense when I got slow. And I got slow in 01 because I just couldn't run with OP, and I was just battling through the year. And I went to him halfway through the year and I said, Lee, I reckon I'm done. And he said, yeah, you're done. And that was about it halfway through. So I did a bit of a lap of honour in 01. And then Lynchy got reported later on in that year in one of the finals. And he said, mate, I need you to play. I need you to play. And Richo, we're playing Richmond, obviously, on that night. And, you know, I didn't do much at all, if anything, but won by, you know, God knows, I think I'm close to 100 points. Mm. And I looked around the ground and I thought, I reckon this, I'm done. This is my last game. No injuries. No one I could tip out. But, mate, I had a good run. You know, it would have been lovely to play in that 01 grand final, but there was no way I was going to tip anyone out of that side. Lynch came in, I went out, and that was it. But I was incredibly happy, mate. I was incredibly happy. I was really, in my quiet time, I was pretty, obviously, very disappointed that I didn't play in that game. But couldn't be more proud of the boys and what they did and what they did thereafter.
I reckon one of the things you look back on pretty fondly was State of Origin. That was a big thing back in the 90s. And obviously, we'd love to see it back in some sort of format because I think it's just great seeing the best of the best lining up with one another. How much did you enjoy that? Because I think you played with the Allies, a Queensland Northern Territory amalgamated side, and also a Queensland side. How did you enjoy those moments?
Oh, it's great fun, mate. I think the best part of it is you get to play with blokes you play against. You always get an opinion of others when you play against them. But I think that, you know, that brotherhood when you come together is a really good thing. The Allies thing was an interesting one. We're a sort of a mixed bag, you know, of all sorts. But we played the Vicos up at the Gabba. I think we got rolled. But, mate, you're really fond memories. Good fun. Yeah, I'm a massive fan of the Origin, obviously, being a pretty much a Queenslander. It's nowhere near like that, obviously, but it is a terrific opportunity and good fun at the time, that's for sure.
Was there one bloke that you really loved the opportunity to play with? You think, I would never have even got the chance if this wasn't going. Was there one player that you loved having that chance to run around with?
Yeah, well, mate, there's a bloke actually that comes to our gym and we do a lot of it, Shane Crawford. He's up at Casuarina near our gym down there at Kingscliff. I always admired him just for his work rate, work ethic and the sort of bloke he was. And he was our skipper in the Allies. So he certainly, he didn't let me down on any front. Amazing, amazing bloke and just a player that just worked his backside off and one that I really admired from afar. But to play with him was terrific. Obviously, play with Solly, that's where Dean Solomon, that's where our relationship started to form. He was only a young lad then, but he and I kicked it off. We're similar sort of people. And, it was really special. But Crawford was the one that I really enjoyed playing with the most.
Post-footy, Matty, you had a long time in the strength and conditioning space with Brisbane, but also the Gold Coast Suns. How much enjoyment and satisfaction did that role give you?
Well, I loved it, mate. There's not a lot of ex-AFL blokes that got into that area. Most go into coaching. Lee often said, I think you'll coach, but I never had that real burning desire to be a coach. I was mad on my fitness and studied in that area. I loved it, mate. Loved my boxing and all those types of things and just can't get enough of working with those young blokes. So Lee said, would you come and work in the conditioning space at Brisbane? Didn't take long for me to say yep. So I did that for 4 years or so and then worked at the Suns with probably about 10 years in total with Bluey and then Bluey and Rocket and then Dewey which is awesome. But, mate, it is a very, very enjoyable industry to be in, but incredibly taxing. And I was probably a bit burnt out at the end, because you really need to be 100% invested in it. And it's one of those jobs, mate, where it is 24/7. I was probably a bit cooked and getting a bit old at the end. So COVID probably did Solly and I a bit of a favour.
Just a bit of a refresh and so forth. Speaking in that space, is there one kid that sort of come through the ranks in their early days that's sort of surpassed your expectations of where they are now? Like, you know, from that strength and conditioning and just development, like obviously you would have had a fair bit to do with development and so forth as well. Is there someone that sort of you thought come in, were pretty raw, but then you look at them now and think, gee whiz, like what a journey they've had. And, you know, I've had a bit of a inkling or, you know, touch on their career as well.
Yeah, there's one standout, Tommy Lynch, mate. In Brisbane, we were blessed with a lot of really good players. Rich was there in my first year. He went on to play, I don't know, he's probably played close to 300, Rich, hasn't he? Yeah. I don't know, whatever it is. But he's a standout at Brisbane. But Tommy was my favourite, Tommy Lynch. I remember in the early days, just such a raw-boned young lad from the country in Victoria. Beautiful kid, fantastic family. Had a real fierce competitive spirit about him. It reminded me of a young Jonathan Brown. So, I had nothing to do with this, but I remember getting Brownie to come and have a chat one day with Lynchy, just to sort of, you know, Brownie's like, just to have a chat and talk about a few bits and pieces. But it was like they were, yeah, they just connected really well. And I thought this kid's going to be a gun, because he had the work ethic, the desire, and he did have a fair amount of ability, but he had that spirit that Brownie had, that sort of unbridled competitive spirit, had a bit of nastiness about him as well. So I thought, this kid's going to be all right. But he's turned out, I think he's won a couple of premierships at Richmond. He's played a couple of hundred games, and he's a standout, mate. Jago O'Meara was the other one that was a star but just got cut down with injury. We were really lucky at the Suns to have, you know, Jack Martin and these types of blokes, Maisie and Prestia and all those guys, but Lynchy was probably the standout.
Love it. Hey, mate, I'm going to give you a couple of quick handballs just to finish off our chat, and I've really appreciated your time and enjoyed going down memory lane with you. I'm going to give you four teammates, and just give me a couple of words just to describe these teammates and what they were like to play with in your eyes. So the first one, you mentioned this bloke before, Roger Merritt.
Roger, mate, I love Roger. He was... yeah, scary, hard, incredibly polarizing, but just someone who you just absolutely love playing with, because he was just an incredible competitor. And I've become very, very close friends with Rog and coached his son, Benny. But big Rog, bless him, he's battling a bit at the moment with some health issues. And hard, fierce, loyal. I love him.
Johnny Gastev.
The Gas, he's another one who's just an outstanding human, just a really soft, quietly spoken, incredibly intelligent man. Just used to float around the ground, beautiful player. Gave his time enormously to me as a young player and all the other young players. I've got the highest regard for Johnny Gass. Love him.
And then a guy you've sort of heavily mentioned before throughout the chat, Sean Hart, you know, one of my favourites, just hard, uncompromising, and a beautiful left foot.
Yeah, you talk about players that are those unsung heroes, the workman, blue collar, all that sort of stuff. He epitomises that. Hardy's probably in my top three best mates. We're different in a lot of ways. Hardy's one of the most generous, giving, amazing humans on the planet, mate. Incredibly courageous man too, like really religious guy, Hardy. It's no secret there. But we were all alpha males in a footy environment. He was very strong on his religion. No one ever questioned that, but he's a bloke that just gives of himself 100%. The amount of work he does that no one sees is phenomenal. I absolutely love Hardy, and everyone you talk to will say the same. He's universally loved, respected, admired, and a bloke you just love playing with. And I love working with him, and I'm really, really blessed to have him as a friend.
He might feature in your next answer for this question, but who's the best character at the club? And when I speak character, you know, that friendly banter, you can have a few beers, maybe a bit of a practical joker. Who was the one that sort of stood out?
Brown, again, he's again that top three as well as my closest friends. But he's, from the time he arrived, mate, the time he left, he the most polarizing bloke I've ever met in footy. Not so much for his footy ability, which was enormous, but his standing as a bloke and a character, him and Boss and those sort of blokes. But Brownie's the most, as I say, the most polarizing bloke I've ever met in footy, and mainly just the way of what he gives. You know, like he loves to talk to people. He's interested in people. Again, it's impossible to put into words what he's done and who he is and how much respect I have for him. But he's the one that I'd love to have a beer with more than anyone for a lot of reasons.
And, mate, the very last question is, who is the player that you dreaded rooming with on interstate trips? Obviously, interstate trips really started to become a thing once, you know, Fremantle and obviously Sydney and West Coast and the likes of, and Melbourne. I guess you're coming to Melbourne every second week anyway with, playing. Who is the bloke that you think, oh, geez, I hope I don't end up with him?
Well, he's a bloke I absolutely love, but he's remember Danny Dickfoss? He was a bit of a cult hero. Danny Dickfoss, a great player, terrific defender, one of those blue-collar blokes we just spoke of then, but he's an absolute pest. And I love him dearly, but we would have roomed together for, I don't know, 6 years while he was there. But it was one of those, I didn't want to room with him, but I did, if that makes sense. We had some great times together, but he was a serial pest joker, just a silent assassin, Danny Dickfoss, but great player, outstanding person too.
Matt Kennedy, thank you for jumping on the 90s Club Footy Podcast. Really appreciate your time, mate, and I've loved reminiscing about your time with the Bears and the Lions.
Thank you, Trent. Thank you for having me, mate.
Oh, he's taken out. He ducks his head and loses the football. But they've still got the numbers. Here's Kennedy running into goal. The big man pops it through.
That's the end of episode number 87. If you've missed any previous podcasts, you can catch them all on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. We're on all the social media platforms, so drop us a line on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter on any particular episode you've enjoyed or a guest you would love to hear. Next week's guest is former Adelaide Crows midfielder, Matthew Liptak.
It's tough, it's rugged, it's good, solid AFL football.